Welcome to the Animus podcast. Today we'll be talking with Rich Spicer. Rich, it's great to see you.
You too.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Cool. So, qualified coach.
Yes.
Off finally. In the big wide world coaching. Yes. Finally. Tell me a bit about finally.
Well, it seems like quite a long journey.
Yeah.
But I suppose in actual physical sense, it's quite a short journey, but I guess the undulations of everything you learn and the journey you go on seems like quite a long process.
Yeah.
But it's been very worthwhile.
Cool. Awesome. So what are you doing with your coaching now?
Well, I've set up a private practice, which is constantly evolving. I seem to be changing my offering on a weekly basis. But it's just a case of finding out that how to do your coaching authentically, I suppose.
Okay.
So there's a lot of advice over there about how to be a coach, niches and all the rest of it. But I think ultimately you just got to find your own voice.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been the process that I've been going through. So
okay.
I've actually removed the word coaching from my website. And it now says clarity through creativity.
Nice.
Because I come from a creative background, having practiced as an artist for years.
Okay.
So I'm kind of integrating the artistic element that seems more authentic.
So how does the creativity show up in the coaching?
When I started, I was attracted to coaching in the first place because I'd been teaching art as part of my career.
Mm.
And teaching people art, it soon transpired, or I realised that I wasn't actually teaching them the mechanics of art, I was coaching them how to think creatively.
Okay.
And it only occurred to me when someone pointed out to me, or the awareness came to me that, you know, I'd never been aware of it before. So that got me interested in coaching. And the more I've done coaching and explored it with Animas, the more the synergy between the creative process and the process that clients go through in coaching seems identical almost.
Okay. So if I was your client in a coaching session, how might that sort of creative process show up in the session?
I think to see the whatever challenge you're facing, I try and encourage clients to see the challenge they're confronted with as a creative challenge rather than perhaps an emotional one.
Okay.
So that's kind of the starting point. And once you kind of detach yourself from the feeling and see it as just a creative problem to be solved,
yeah,
it opens up some kind of divergent thinking and distances yourself from the feeling of it, which can sometimes hinder creative thought and, you know, problem solving.
Lovely. So it reminds me of that notion of externalising the story.
Mm.
So when a client's got that story running around in their head, by actually verbalising it and talking about it as a narrative or as a story, it allows us to have a distance or an objectivity to it, so we can come at it from a different direction.
Yes.
So, as an artist, do you actually use artwork in your coaching?
Well, I've asked clients to doodle while they've been talking.
Mm.
And the science behind doodling is it frees up area in the kind of the frontal lobe area of the brain, which is where we can problem solve. So by doodling, it creates space here for that kind of unconscious problem solving to happen.
Yeah.
So, and also, interestingly, the doodles that they subconsciously do, and the result often is quite revealing in itself. So they can draw, one client drew like a division line and then this kind of scales almost balancing. She wasn't aware that she was doing it. She was just like talking while she was doing it. And it kind of was quite, when we reflected on it, it kind of like revealed quite a lot about her situation and how she felt about it. That's quite powerful sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm just curious here, when you're now doing your artwork with people, you're teaching people to draw or paint, is there now that you've done coaching, are you more conscious of coaching them through that process?
Oh, it's completely different now, yeah. It's completely different, yeah. It's now on their, it's more person-centred, obviously.
Ah.
Whereas before it was kind of like, we need to create a painting, whereas I might have do sessions with them where they don't create anything and we just talk about what's preventing them from creating something.
So it's
it's cool. It's really cool. It's a bit more rewarding for them, so it's more kind of holistic about the whole process of the fear around creating and, you know, feeling judged and all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
which can stifle it all, of course.
Amazing. Mm. It's just so fascinating to see how they sort of impact each other and how that grows. And I wonder, do you see it particularly going anywhere or turning into anything?
Well, interestingly, I've parked my private stuff, and I'm now working with other coaches around bringing creativity into organisations.
Oh.
And that kind of mindset. Yes, that's been a real... We've been doing that for about a year, and we're just about ready to kind of put it out into the world almost. So it's taken us a year to kind of get to the point where we've got enough social capital with each other and enough understanding of the way each other works to solve the challenges that it will take to put it in the market kind of thing, and to create. Because we want our organisation to be the example to follow, the kind of like the role model, if you like.
Okay.
So that process of building that organisation is very challenging and very difficult and very time-consuming, but worth it the long run, I think.
So you're working with other coaches.
Yes.
Bringing creativity into organisations.
Yeah.
So I imagine in order to be the role model of that, you've had to bring creativity into that organisation itself.
Yes. Yes, I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
It came from the idea of potential and human potential. So the organisation we're starting is called UP, which stands for Unlimited Potential. And it's this belief that the greatest asset or the greatest resource on earth is the human mind and the imagination that we're capable of and the creative, almost impossible acts that we are. You just look around the city, you can see that it's everywhere, you know. And it's that unlimited potential that we want to kind of help organisations tap into.
Fabulous. Mm. And you're just about to do this?
Yeah, well, we got three streams that we're considering. We're going to go into higher education.
Okay.
So initially we thought when you go into organisations, we can help change their culture. But then we kind of like chunked it up, if you like, and said, well, why don't we start at the beginning and go and see the people that are going to be the entrepreneurs of tomorrow and form the businesses of tomorrow
and
give them some empowerment to kind of create different organisations and work differently, more creatively, more holistically, with more soul, I suppose.
So you mentioned there that you've sort of stopped or put on hold your own coaching practice.
Yes, because the energy involved in creating UP and the excitement that it generates within me is more, it feels more prevalent in my life at the moment, I guess. So I'm listening to that instinctive voice, that intuition that is telling me that I need to focus on that.
Okay.
Because there's obviously other people involved. And interesting, one of the guys that has joined us is an ex-client. So that posed its own kind of dilemma.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking during the coaching process, I'd like this guy to join UP.
Wow.
But obviously to have, be able to just park that until the relationship had finished and then say, I've got this idea, or we're working on this idea, how do you fit? Because everything that he was saying in the coaching was resonating with me in terms of what we want to do with UP.
Mm.
So he works in the civil service and he's restrained by this machine almost. And he feels that he couldn't be authentic at work. I just think, how can anyone be expected to work somewhere where they can't be themselves? It just seems madness to me. So my experience of that kind of culture is purely secondhand because I've always been kind of like a free spirit artist kind of guy.
Yeah.
I never worked in that corporate world. So I just see the secondary impact of it. So my wife works in that field and I see the negative impact it has on her. So that's quite another motivation to kind of redress that somehow.
So in that, the pausing of your one-to-one practice, I'm curious about, because I was going to ask about how you get your clients and how all of that happens, but I guess at the moment you're not doing any of that.
No.
And do you notice that clients still find you at all?
Well, I've put myself on directories and I've got my website, but I really haven't done much promotion in terms of, I've written a few articles, but that's about as far as I've gone really. When I feel the need to kind of express something, I do it.
Yeah.
It feels incongruent to do that as a means of marketing.
Right.
If you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to come from somewhere.
Cool.
You know?
And so this, with this organisation building and developing, I suppose you see that as your your next coaching step into the world?
Yeah, because obviously we'd like to go into organisations and run potentially workshops or training around the ideas and help them adopt a more open culture, I suppose, and a more equal worth, all these ideas around equal worth, trust. They're the three cornerstones of UP is trust, equal worth and wholeness.
Okay.
So encouraging those three elements within an organisation so people can not only reach their potential, but the organisation as a result will also improve their potential.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you sort of, you've done your coaching training.
Yes.
Begun to do your one-to-one work.
Yes.
But then taken that into organisational work, team coaching, group coaching.
Yes.
Workshops.
And hopefully do one-to-one, because that's obviously that's still a passion, and the rewards of doing one-to-one coachings are huge. But through UP, I think we'll get some one-to-one coaching, and hopefully that will spring from it.
And what do you get through UP? What do you get from sort of being part of it? What's the drive for you?
Oh, the collaborative process is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, as an artist, you work in a silo as an artist, you know. So I've had this kind of itch to be more collaborative and find people to like form almost like a tribe, I suppose.
Yeah.
And this idea of improving people's life, and you've spent so long at work, it just seems mad to do it in a way that makes people unhappy.
And I sort of recognise that desire to be collaborative as an artist myself. I remember whenever I did theatre work, it was always devised collaborative work with different types, you know, with musicians and singers and dancers, because there was something about bringing groups of people together to create something that allowed you to pull on everybody's best skill, as it were, or their best self to make something wonderful. Nice.
It's a great process.
Yeah.
But it takes courage, you know. It takes trust, and you have to build trust, and all of this stuff is a process that needs to be gone through, you know.
So would I be right in saying that the organisation, but creating the organisation, was a coaching process that you went through as a group in order to build it, to then work with others on it?
Yeah, it's like creating the unknown is what we've kind of coined it. And we're actually writing a book in synergy with, we're in, at the same time as creating the organisation, we're writing a book alongside it. So it's almost like a reflective, it's called Growing Up. So it's almost like a reflective, like, diary almost of how we created and the processes we went through to get to the point where we hopefully reach. So
that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's a fun idea.
I think that's great to actually document it whilst you're doing it, because often people don't do that. They look back and have to recreate the journey.
So creating an organisation is a reflective practice, so it's quite... It's good fun.
So... What are the types of people that are part of this organisation?
Well, the coaches that I met on the course.
Yeah.
I'm meeting new people all the time. I met someone on the trainer thing that we did.
The connections
I made there are invaluable and almost more valuable than the actual... That was the benefit of doing that, I suppose, is making those connections.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where we are. We just want to go out and make as many connections as possible, you know.
Cool. So that kind of, it feels almost like stealth networking.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the idea of social media, because we're exploring the idea of social media. And I'm a firm believer in, if we want to be more creative, we need to turn stuff off. So I'm a firm believer in, how do we stand out from the crowd by doing the same that everyone else is doing? So I'm kind of in between, and they're convincing me to kind of, that it's a necessity, but I can't help feeling that a USP of not being on social media is quite powerful.
That's interesting, because often people talk about that notion of switching social media off, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, and I have to say I'm a real social media lover. You may have noticed.
Me too. I
always wonder, what is it that we might get from switching that off? So when you think about turning that off, what's the get from that?
Well, a guy called Professor Cal Newport, he's written a book called Deep Work, and he points to this notion of multitasking, especially at work when you've got the instant messenger, you've got your social media platform, you've got your inbox open, you've got the piece of work you're trying to do, you've got all of these things going on, and this false belief that we can do all those things. And he talks about a thing called attention residue. So you switch from, you go and do your email, for example, and then you try and do, but you bring a residue of the email over, and it takes you longer to engage in the piece of work. So the idea of turning this stuff off and having almost quiet time, sounds a bit childish, maybe kind of focused time, is really powerful. And this kind of, this rapt attention that you can pay and how productive that can be.
Yeah, it's actually something that we talk about at Animus. I hadn't recognised the name until you started talking about it, that, that notion of how do we do our deep work, so how do we switch off from everybody else and switch off from what's going on around you to go into that phase of going, I'm writing this right now and I'm not going to speak to anybody else for the next hour or two.
Exactly.
And I suppose thinking or knowing that you're an artist, it sort of reminds me of the flow work as well, or getting into that flow state. I'm curious about how flow might impact the work that you do.
Well, I've experienced flow quite a lot. I hadn't realised until I read the book that's what it was. It's almost like a trance-like state when you're painting. And someone talked about meditative states recently, and it's a kind of like a jewel kind of lost in the paint and then kind of reflective and being out the world looking in and kind of doing both simultaneously. I think in with ARP, the flow with groups is quite a different dynamic, and we're exploring that. Keith Sawyer's done quite a lot of work around that area, so we're exploring his work, and there seems to be a lot of paradoxes around it, so we're just kind of exploring those. And maybe that's the way to go into organisations, is just to say it's very paradoxical, the whole idea of it. So we just need to embrace those paradoxes rather than question them.
Oh, interesting. Interesting stuff. So I suppose when I think of a future for you, I sort of go, whoa, how does the artwork, the one-to-one coaching, the group work, the flow, the doodling, how does all of that come together? And as you were saying, you know, at the beginning, where your offer changes on a weekly basis, I'm sort of wondering, I wonder where that goes to.
I know, it's exciting, and that's why I want to work with other people, because they have, UP couldn't be created by one person alone. It needs a variety of skills, a variety of experience, and my experience and my skills are just a tiny part of it, and it's that collaborative effort and acknowledging that I don't know enough to make it work and the other people feel the same, and it's only together that we'll create the solution and make it happen. So it's important to have that mindset.
It feels like a coaching relationship where together we create. It isn't you or I don't do it for you, but it's
exactly. There's no agenda, you know.
Awesome. That sounds fabulous. I could talk to you for hours. We don't have hours, but I could talk to you for hours on this. And
it's very interesting.
Where can we find you? So if somebody wants to get hold of you to talk about ARP or to talk about the artwork that you do.
Through the Animas Lounge. You can click on my website, Rich Spicer Coaching. We're in the process of setting up some landing pages for ARP. Yeah, those places really. Yeah,
Brilliant. Facebook. Great.
I'm always ranting on Facebook about something. normally politics.
Fantastic. It's been a real pleasure, Rich. It really has. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity to come and talk to you.
It's been lovely. Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks.